Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. Well, political takeaways this morning all over the country. How many were there? 11 primaries yesterday?
Yes, indeed.
One runoff there in Arkansas. Blanche Lincoln survives.
And it's only June.
It's only June. Well, but these races set up what's going to be the theme for the 2010 election, and it's really all about Obama and Obama being able to sort of survive and hold the Congress and all that
indeed,
sort of thing.
Indeed. And will there still be a Democratic majority in both houses?
Indeed. And of course, so these women characters who won, it's also a great story.
Characters?
Meg Whitman. It's like Hollywood, the changing of the guard. Hollywood, Schwarzenegger's in the governor's house there in California. Meg Whitman, eBay's former CEO, may be the governor of California.
New products from Silicon Valley.
There we go. That's correct. And Carly Fiorina is going to face Barbara Boxer in the fall. That's interesting. And her
tough race.
That's going to
be
a very
one
tough
race.
Well, for all the election results, actually all morning long, we're going to be doing election results, and we're going to take some slices of it here in this segment. Michael Hiblin rejoins us, reporter for KUAR in Little Rock, Arkansas. Good morning again, Michael.
Hey, John.
Also with us is Bruce Kane, professor of political science at University of California, Berkeley. He's also the executive director of the University of California's Washington Center. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
Bruce, let's hit California here at the top. What do you think is the main headline out of California this morning?
Money matters, I think, is the headline. You have two candidates who were virtually non-existent from the California scene 2 years ago. They didn't even vote regularly in elections. They're prominent executives, but until the John McCain campaign, we never really saw either of them on the political scene. And now here we are in 2010, and they are the nominees for the Republican Party in the Senate and the governor's race. Pretty remarkable.
Are you sensing, Bruce Kane, that the GOP in California, after maybe an unsatisfying stint with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and if we talk about Schwarzenegger and Reagan being from the sort of Los Angeles area and the entertainment industry, that Californians are looking for some security in these tough budget times with the successes in Silicon Valley, both Carly Fiorina and Meg Whitman, both hugely successful Silicon Valley executives, maybe less so with Carly.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think the appeal of a business person when the state economy is really not doing well, and of course the budget is a major issue. I think it had a lot of appeal to look for an executive, but that's a pattern we've seen in California before. We've had CEOs running for office, but the Silicon Valley aspect, yes, that's new. Silicon Valley 20-25 years ago was also non-existent as a money source, as a player in state politics. Here it was more Hollywood, it was more San Francisco. But now you've got two people coming out of Silicon Valley. You also had a candidate for another statewide office that came from the Silicon Valley. We've had one or two before, and even Tom Campbell, by the way, represented the Silicon Valley. So this is a merging pattern of a source of candidates and a source of political money. So I think that's a characteristic that will stay with the state over the next couple decades.
It's also a bit of a changing of the guard within sort of Silicon Valley itself, where you have the Jeff Bezoses of the world, the Bill Gateses of the world. I mean, that's not really Silicon Valley, but you have these entrepreneurs associated with the Democratic Party as kingmakers. Now these individuals associated with the GOP. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Steve Wesley would actually be the good example. He was a candidate for governor recently. Here's what I make of it. What I make of it is, yes, it shows you partly that the Silicon Valley is now aware that regulations in the state dictate the business climate, and so they're interested in it. But the more important story is, you really can't run for office in California unless you have megabucks. And the only two way to have megabucks is to either be an experienced, well-known candidate like a Jerry Brown or a Bill Lockyer, or somebody who's been around forever, and therefore they attract money. Or you have to be a self-supporting candidate, and that's the key. You can jumpstart your own candidacy. You can take care of the down periods with your own money. And, we're just such an expensive state to run in. We have hugely expensive media markets. We have, millions of voters. You can't start from scratch. You got to have the money. And Silicon Valley is a source of enormous wealth. And I think as much as anything, that's the reason why Silicon Valley will be a big player in California politics.
Well, I'm going to ask you about Jerry Brown before we go, Bruce Kane, but I got to ask Michael Hiblin. This is a story in Arkansas of a civil war within the Democratic Party, and Blanche Lincoln, the incumbent, manages to pull it out. Will she need to reinvent herself again to face her Republican challenger in the fall?
I don't think so. I think she already had herself defined what she will want to be heading into the November election, which was really as a centrist. She opened up the year by releasing political ads saying, "I'm not beholden to any party. I'm beholden to you, the Arkansans." And she was really positioning herself for what's expected to be a very tough fight against Republicans this year going into the general election in November. But she had to move herself a little bit over to the left after she got this last-minute challenge from Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter.
And what about all that labor support and all that money that went into defeating her? Is that going to hurt her in the general?
It could. We had outside interests pouring money into this state like never before. And a lot of this indeed came from union groups and people who were upset with Senator Lincoln for not supporting positions that Democrats typically do.
Michael, listen to this. Here's what one of those labor supporters for Blanche Lincoln's opponent said yesterday on our program.
"We're trying to let them understand that we will decide who controls the Senate as far as the Democrats. It'll be the working families in Arkansas that decide who's going to represent Arkansas in the U.S. Senate."
Michael Hiblin, are those working families going to stay home in November because they've been disillusioned by what happened yesterday?
It depends how things play out. They very well might not if they feel to a certain degree that her Republican opponent, who is Congressman John Bozeman, is even less of a candidate they would support. It might end up being the lesser of two evils in their eyes.
All right. Michael Hiblin is a reporter for KUAR in Little Rock, Arkansas, talking about the primary yesterday in which the runoff yesterday in which Blanche Lincoln managed to retain her nomination for the U.S. Senate. She's in the Senate now. She will be running in the fall. Bruce Kane, Jerry Brown running for governor once again. I was in high school when he first won as governor. Give me one quick takeaway on Jerry Brown.
Jerry Brown is a maverick in the same way that John McCain is. He's not an orthodox
The oldest Democrat. Maverick in the universe, Bruce Kane, professor of political science at UC Berkeley, executive director of the University of California's Washington Center. Looking at the primaries, takeaways from California and Arkansas. Thanks to both.